Well, as I shared just a moment ago today, we are thrilled and we are blessed to have a special speaker with us today that is going to bless us. Today we are blessed by having Mark Timm with us. Mark is the president, CEO of the family division of the Ziegler Corporation. That's pretty high honor in and of itself. That tells us, number one, that he's real, that he's genuine, that he has the ability to speak. But most importantly, it tells us that he has a heart for the family. Here at Harmony, we have a heart for the family as well, because the family matters. The family matters to God, the family matters to the church, but the family matters in culture and society. And ministries and messages like Mark is going to share today is going to help us have the family that we want, because some of you are ready for your family to win, you're ready for your family to make a difference, and Mark's going to help your family and my family do that today. Let's welcome Mark Timm.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Well, thank you very much. I am honored to be here myself, so the honor is mine, especially when Pastor got up here and started. He asked me how I wanted to be introduced, and I said, actually, what you said before the last round of worship songs was the best introduction I could get, and that is that family matters. And you all know that family matters. You've been talking about family mattering. And so you're inviting me in to come in and share with you. And I just want to take a moment to thank you for this opportunity. And there are some friends of mine in the audience as well. Dan and Karen Knoll are out there, and thank you. And Beth and Carl Waterman, thank you for being here as well. And I've got my family back here. I'll do a better introduction of them in a minute, but my mom and dad are out there as well. And so my family matters, and your family matters. And so, you know, I was thinking about how to get started and what to say to you this morning. And I'm just going to tell you that just like Pastor was saying, life happens. So last night was a big day yesterday for our family. We had a lot going on. My wife and I were shooting videos all day, and then we went to a wedding, and then God had plans for me last night not to sleep. And so, you know, so I was up six times last night. I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to get up here without a quick trip to the restroom. And so it was a rough night last night. And so I decided, you know what, I'm here to deliver a message on behalf of the Zig Ziglar Corporation based on the position I am. But more than anything, I'm just going to go off script for a little while, and I'm going to share with you why family matters to me. And I think that's probably the best thing I can do. And then I'll share with you a little bit about what we're doing at Ziegler Family to impact families all over the world. So I thought of an illustration that I can use. And I did a family conference last week, and I used this illustration there. And it's something that I hadn't done in 20 years. So I'm going to share it with you here this morning. And it's a great illustration about family today. What are families doing today? Why are we so, you know, challenged? Why is it such a tough time for families? And so I'm going to share with you this illustration. And it's really quite simple, and a lot of you will figure it out real quickly. It's a simple dot card. Now, this dot card is really, really simple because there's only two sides to it. And so on one side of the dot card, there's one dot. And on the other side, there's four. But you flip it over, there's two, and you flip it over again, there's five. You turn it again, there's three, and you turn it again, there's six. Okay? Now, why does this have to do with families? Here, let me show you this again. One, four, two, five, three, six. Now, the reason I even bring this illustration to you is because I think most of you have figured out what I'm doing, right? There's really only two sides to this dot card. I showed you this side covering up the second dot. I showed you this side covering up the fifth dot. I showed you two. I showed you five. I showed you three. Not really anything there. I showed you six. Not really anything there. You see, I showed you what I wanted you to see, not what reality was. That's families today. We are walking around showing people what we want them to see, when the reality is that we've got a few bumps, we've got a few dots, we've got a few things happening in our families that we don't want anybody to see, especially not on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat. I mean, we go through 1,000 photos to get to this one, okay? There's a Facebook photo for you, all right? That's my family. We went through 1,000 photos so that we could put that on Facebook, right? Okay, so that's what we do as families. We show people what we want them to see. all the time. We're not really living in reality. Man, how awesome would it be if someone could ask us about our family? We are so programmed when someone says, "How's your family doing?" What do you say? Great, fine, fantastic. You come up with all kinds of things to say about your family, all right? But we don't tell the truth. And it's not that we have to walk around, you know, being Eeyore or anything, but sometimes we just need, especially in church, we need to be able to come into church and be able to be honest with who our family is and where our family's at and what our family is doing. And what I'm going to ask you to do, okay, what I'm going to ask you to do is just go with me for the next 20, 25 minutes. Don't pretend. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your family, all right? How many of you love your family? Raise your hands. All right. How many of you had dreams for your family before your family was ever even started? Raise your hand. All right, me too. But along the way, we get bumps in the road and we forget about those dreams. So I'm going to give you permission today to dream again. I'm going to give you permission to dream. And the reason I want you to dream is because what if your family could achieve those dreams? What if those dreams you had for your family could be a reality? And what if there were actually three dots on that card the whole time and six dots on this side? What if you allowed yourself to dream? All kinds of possibilities would happen. In fact, I'm going to sit here and tell you that there weren't three, there weren't six, there were actually eight the whole time. Go with me this morning. That's what's possible. All kinds of things are possible if you will allow yourself to dream, if you'll allow yourself to hold on to some of that hope that you have. This is my family. Okay, they're here with me here. I've got four of the six. We are a modern day Brady Bunch. Okay, my wife and I are a blended family. We've got three boys and three girls. They're sitting right over here. I will not embarrass them because I've done that before and it doesn't work out for me afterwards, all right? But they are over in that general vicinity, all right? And so, and my wife is with me, my beautiful bride, and I'm so thankful to have her here. Now, here's something I do need to tell you about honesty. I'm just going to lay it out there. Right day, all six of our kids are teenagers. Yeah. I don't need any awes. I need prayer. All right? We're in the right place. Maybe we should just get down on our hands and knees right now. Because how many of you have teenagers or had teenagers? Either way, you're in the club. Okay. All right. So here's the deal. Teenagers are hard. All right? They're just hard. You know, I look at these families with little babies and stuff, and they're talking about how they didn't get any sleep last night. And I get that. That was hard. Teenagers is a whole different kind of hard, all right? A whole different kind of hard. And but here's where we're at. I'm going to throw something out there and say, what if? What if teenagers were supposed to be hard? What if they're supposed to be hard? What if the whole job of a teenager is to be hard? Would that change something in your mind a little bit? Because here's where I'm going with it. What if just for a second, I'm going to ask you guys what if a lot this morning. What if just for a second you allowed yourself to believe that that teenager is hard on purpose because they are testing you? Because somebody has to take that teenager from being all hormonal and messed up and screwed up and not sure up from down and lead them into being a young adult. And their job is to figure out who it's going to be. So they're going to test you, and they're going to try you, and they're going to challenge you because that's their job. So the question is, are you willing to accept your job, which is to accept their challenge, to help them become the young adult that God has called them to be? Because our job is not to raise good kids. We thought it was for a long time. That's not our job. Our job is to raise good young adults. Our job is to raise good moms and dads and brothers and sisters and friends and coworkers. That's our job as families. Our job is not to raise good kids. Our job is to raise good adults. So when our teenagers challenge us, maybe that's their job. And our job is to lead them. Because let me tell you something. If you're not leading your teenager to be a young adult, somebody else is. I promise you that. Somebody else is. If it's not you, it's somebody else. Maybe it's television. Maybe it's a video game. Maybe it's their friends. But somebody is leading them, and they're looking for who that's going to be. And I hope it's you. So what if that was the case? What if that was the case? And, you know, I look at my own family and say, you know, that's not our family. Whoa, hello. That is not our family right there. That's our Facebook family. So would you like to meet the Timms? That is our family. Okay? That is our family. That's the reality. Because we are messy. We are a messy, modern family. And we look like that way more than we look like that. That is how we looked at 8:40 this morning. And somehow, between 8:40 and 8:50, we did that. I'm not sure how, because one of my kids, unnamed, at 8:40, was still in bed. Oh, she's waving at me right now. But somehow we did that. We are messy. Are there any other messy families out there? Please tell me I'm not alone. All right, whew. I'm in the right place, Pastor. I'm in the right place, okay? So we're a messy family. We struggle. We have teenagers that struggle. We've had teenagers that snuck out in the middle of the night. It happens. All right? It happens. We've had teenagers that had their heart broken. It happens. We've had young people get hurt and go to the hospital. It happens. Things happen in families. All right? Family life is messy. Now, I had the opportunity. Part of the job that I have with the Ziegler Corporation is I get to meet some of the coolest people in the world. And I got to meet someone by the name of Dr. Meg Meeker, and she's a parenting expert. She spent 30 years studying parenting and families. So I had the chance to interview her for an hour. And there were all kinds of questions I wanted to ask her, but finally, I just boiled it down to one question that was just, I mean, got in the back of my mind. I couldn't get it out. And I said, Dr. Meeker, is it harder today to raise kids or just different? And she said, that's an easy question. It is much harder to raise kids today than it was 30 years ago or 60 years ago. And that's a fact. I'm not saying that to make excuses. I'm not up here to make excuses for my family or your family, but it's harder. And I'll tell you one of the things that made it harder. Does anybody have something called, what is it called, a cell phone? Okay, those were supposed to improve our lives. But what they've done is they've created the most intense competition for our children's time that we've ever seen in the history of time. And worse yet, the cell phone, now a computer that could launch rockets, has allowed our kids to create a second life that we're not a part of, that oftentimes we're not even invited to. Man, that's scary. That is scary. You know, there weren't even cell phones around when I was my kid's age. Okay, I tell them all the time, I was 25 years old before I got a cell phone. So they don't even know a life without cell phones. So our kids are coming along and we just hand them a cell phone. Oh, we don't want them to be scared when they're on a sleepover or, you know, or they want one. There's all kinds of excuses. We just gave it to them. I'm sorry to tell my kids sitting right here, but if I could do it all over again, none of them would have a cell phone. Not until they really need one. Because it competes with your time. Now, the reality is that my kids have cell phones. I'm going to tell you right up front. And most of the kids here probably have cell phones. So the fact is that it is harder, though, because they can retreat to another world that you're not involved in and not a part of. So it's more difficult. It is a challenge. And I'll tell you this, too. It is a challenge just to be a happy, healthy family. If you don't think I'm right on this, watch any sitcom today. Any sitcom today. It is not vogue to be a happy, healthy family. In fact, it is only vogue to be messed up, screwed up, jacked up family. And the butt of every single joke on sitcoms today is who? Dads. You watch any sitcom out there, and the butt of the joke is going to be dad. And that pains me. In fact, I'm watching a television commercial the other day. I won't say what company this was, but you can Google it. And I will say, though, that here's the whole spirit of the conversation. There's a dad out there playing pitch and catch with his son. And he takes the ball, and he does something like that, and it drops about halfway between him and his son. And it rolls down to his feet. The boy picks it up. And then you hear on the commercial, there are some things you can't give your child. So give him a car. Are you kidding me? It's a car commercial. And that's their pitch line. Old dad out there can't wing the ball over to his boy so he can buy him a car. And that makes a lot of sense. But that's the reality that we're in. We're in that reality today. That's the way that we're living today. That's the world that we're living in, and we have to accept it. I'm not going to change that car company's ad slogan, and I'm not going to be able to change the fact that cell phones are getting faster and more prevalent and cheaper, and more kids are going to have them, and my kids are going to have them. So the fact is that we've got to accept it. We've got to accept it as our family. You've got to accept it as your family. And so, but what we can do is we can start challenging, and I'm going to challenge you that those dreams and hopes that you had for your family, don't lose them. You can be more. You can do more, and you can have more of everything that you ever dreamed for your life and for your family. It is possible, but it takes being honest. It takes being true to who you are and what you are. You know, Mr. Zig Ziglar used to say all the time, you got to not only know who you are, but whose you are. And everybody in this room knows whose you are, because everybody in there has a father that has already given them everything that you need in life to be happy, healthy, reasonably prosperous, and secure. Because we have a heavenly father that loves us, that's taught us to love us, and wants us to dream, and wants us to hold on to their dreams and not forget those dreams. And so I looked at my life, and so what happened in my life? I'm standing up here as a guy who can stand up on behalf of the Zig Ziglar Corporation, not because I've gotten it right my whole life, but because I probably spent a decade getting it as wrong as you could get it. You see, I was an entrepreneur. I'm on my 11th business. I'm what you call a serial entrepreneur. I start businesses, I've sold businesses, I've built businesses. That's who I was. That's who I thought I was. That's who I defined myself as. I was a co-founder of a business out of my garage that grew to 7 figures, sold it 8 years later, bought it back, sold it again the next day. That's who I defined myself as. But here's the deal, and here's the reality. For 10 years of my life, I could make 100 decisions at work with confidence and clarity, and I couldn't make the first decision at home with that same confidence and clarity. So I justified it by traveling more and by being away from home more. And I justified it easily because I was providing for my family. So the fact is that one day I was sitting in my driveway. Now, granted, my driveway is 1/3 of a mile long. So I'm sitting at the beginning of the driveway and I'm stopped there. And I find it ironic that I don't want to finish the drive. And I realize I don't want to finish the drive because I just had a great day at work. And I know as soon as I walk in the door, I'm not going to have a great day. But that's when it hit me. What if? I asked myself that question, what if? What if the most valuable business that I will ever own, ever be a part of, ever manage, ever be associated with was the one I was going home to instead of the one I was going to? And that day, everything changed for me. Because I asked myself, what if everything I had done in my life, with every business, with every person that I'd ever come in contact with every pastor, with every friend, with every family member, what if everything I had ever done in my life was so that I could be the dad that these kids needed me to be, so that I could be the husband that my wife needed me to be? What if? And so I went home and I shared that vision with my wife. She was excited because she wanted me to be plugged in. The kids were ready for me to be plugged in. And we started running the family like the most valuable business. Now, it's far from perfect. We have been far from perfect over the years, but at least I have confidence and clarity about the family, and it's not easy, okay? So I don't want you to think that just because we made this decision, everything got easy and everything got perfect, because it didn't. But at least now I'm not afraid to be home. I'm not afraid to be the leader that I need to be. In fact, I want to see out there, I'm going to do something totally unscripted in this church, and forgive me later, Pastor, but are there any men out there? Because right now, one of the things that I found after interviewing thousands and thousands of families is that men are stepping back from the leadership of their family. And society is okay with that. And it's time for us to step up. And I want to know, I want to see if any man out there is willing to raise his hand right now and say, I'm willing to step up and be the leader that God called me to be for my family. Is there any man out there willing to do that? I've got one out here. Will you stand up? Will you stand up? Stand up, please. If you're willing to stand with that man right back there who stood up first and say, I'm willing to be the man that God called me to be for my family, stand up right now. Thank you, men. Thank you. Give them all a hand right now. Give them a hand. Now, trust me, my wife is just as important as me in this family. But my family, my God above, has called me to be a leader of my family. And for a long time, I wasn't accepting that calling, and I wasn't leading my family. And thank you, men, for standing up. We need more of you. Your family needs you, and we need more of you to influence more men. And we'll have a different place in a different society out there. So, who influenced me? Who poured seeds in my life? All right, this is the coolest thing of all. I started doing an inventory, and I want to challenge all of you to do an inventory in your life. Who has planted seeds? Who has taught you things that you can use for your family to be a better brother or sister or mother or father? All right, I know for me, my father is in this audience right now. My father taught me things that it took years and decades for me to understand what he was teaching me. There were times I thought he was just mean. But now I realize he was teaching me the value of hard work. And right now, that's one of the things most valued out there is hard work. It's almost non-existent. He was teaching me the importance of a dollar and what that dollar meant and why it was important for me to understand the value of a dollar for my family. And he was teaching me responsibility. So he taught me three things that I couldn't learn in school: value of a dollar, responsibility, and hard work. Now, what do you think is serving me better today? The things that he taught me. And I looked at my grandfather, my grandpa, who I was at his house 2 days ago helping him. My grandmother has passed away and we're there. That man taught me that love for a child was spelled T-I-M-E. And he spent time with me when I was little. And I was the only person on earth. And then I got the opportunity, I'm one of the rare people in this world, I got the opportunity to get to know my great-grandfather. That's my great-grandfather Charlie right there. Now, I love that picture because he had just finished fishing, all right? And then he was taking his little nap. And that's what he did. That was his routine. He'd go fishing and take his nap. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I got to spend a week every summer with that man and my great-grandmother Nellie. I thought I had the coolest parents in the world to let me go spend time with my great-grandparents. Now that I have 6 teenagers, I wish they'd go spend a week every summer. But the fact is, I spent time with that man. And you know what we did almost every day when I was with him? We went fishing. Now I'm going to tell you something real honest, all right? He was not a good fisherman at all. In fact, nearly every single time that we went fishing, I caught all the fish. Now, I didn't want to hurt his feelings, okay? I didn't want to hurt his feelings because, you know, I didn't want to point out the fact that I was catching all the fish, you know? And so, but I got a little older. I got to be about 15, and I started paying attention. That happens sometimes for 15-year-olds. It's momentary, but it does happen. I'm paying attention, and I realize Grandpa Charlie doesn't have any bait on his hook. Now, I thought that was weird. And I thought, should I tell him? And I thought, no, I'm not going to tell him. I don't want to embarrass him. Then the next day we go out. The next day we go out and we do something called trolling. Now, I don't know if you've ever trolled before, but that's where you drag the bait behind the boat. And I thought, well, he's got to have bait now because it's artificial bait. So I look over the side of the boat and I thought, what is he doing? His bait is in the water, but it's not even past the boat. Now, if you've ever been trolling, you're going to figure out real quickly, you don't catch any fish with your bait not past the boat. So what ended up happening after this experience is I started thinking to myself, what is he doing? And then it hit me. It hit me harder than almost anything's ever hit me in my life because I realized that for all those years, Grandpa Charlie and I haven't been fishing for the same thing at all. I was fishing for fish. He was fishing for me. Now here's the cool part. There were so many times that I didn't catch any fish. But there wasn't a single time that we went fishing that he didn't catch me. He caught what he was fishing for 100% of the time because he was fishing for me. He knew exactly what he was fishing for. He knew what he was going to do because, see, here's the cool part. Every time we went fishing, all he had to do was get me with a pole in the water and I'd talk about anything. And he could tell me about anything. So we went fishing so that he could pour into me stories of integrity and honesty and character and tell me stories of him growing up, things that I remember even to this day. But now that I'm a father, let me tell you something. Grandpa Charlie wasn't just fishing for me. He was fishing for Marcus and Cassandra and Grace and Mary and Kaven and Zachary. And none of them were even born when he died. He was fishing for my wife, who he never had the opportunity to meet. You know, I was at a wedding yesterday, and the father of the bride stood up and said, I've been praying for this young man for 10 years. I've been praying for this young man for 10 years to marry my daughter. Now, 10 years ago, he never even knew the young man existed. But he's been praying for that young man for 10 years. So I'm going to sit here and tell you that Grandpa Charlie was not just fishing for my kids and my wife, but Grandpa Charlie was fishing for their spouses and for their kids. Because on that creek and that pond, he left a living legacy in me that I'm now carrying forward into my family. That's someone who knows what they're fishing for. That's the kind of intentionality that we need to be as parents. We've got to know who we are, whose we are, and we got to know who we're fishing for. And if we do, then we can pass on a living legacy, that we can leave a living legacy in our own family. So I guess, to be fair, who was Grandpa Charlie really fishing for? My soul. He was fishing for my soul, and he caught it. So it took me years to really appreciate and understand. So I started looking at other people that were in my life, and I found this guy right here. At 15 years old, I watched this guy give a speech for the first time. It was my first speech I'd ever heard. Can you imagine your first professional public speaker being Zig Ziglar? I'm at the National FFA Convention. There's 15,000 people in the auditorium. It's like I'm the only guy in the whole auditorium, and he's speaking to me, and he's talking about goal setting and positive mental attitude, and you can do anything in life. You can have anything you want. Just help enough other people get what they want. Need a checkup from the neck up. Quit that stinking thinking. I mean, I heard it all, and I loved it, and I couldn't get enough of it. I bought these cassette tapes. Now, parents, please explain to your children after this service is over what those are. Okay? All right, because I don't want them to think I'm buying contraband or anything, you know, illegal here. But we bought cassette tapes, and I wore them out. My parents can testify. As I go back and find old childhood memories, I continue to find Ziploc baggies with cassette tapes in them because I didn't want to get them wet. So I'd put them in a Ziploc bag so they'd stay, you know, free of the environment, not get wet. I listened to everything I could. And then 4 years later, I got to meet him again at 19 years old. I met him again at the National FFA Convention. This time, I became the National FFA president. And I met him there, and he invited me to come down to Dallas, Texas, and be his personal guest at the Born to Win conference. So I went down to Dallas, Texas with Mr. Ziegler and the redhead, as he called his wife. We had dinner together, and I spent an entire week at the Born to Win. I'm there with presidents and CEOs of corporations all over the world. Man, he planted seeds in my life. Now, I used those seeds to obviously be successful in business, but obviously I figured out later that those seeds were in place for me to be a good dad and a good husband and to be a role model and a mentor for my kids. So people have been put into your lives. I promise you, do the inventory that you need to do to find out who has been put into your lives to make a difference in your life. So I now know my purpose. My purpose is not to be an entrepreneur. My purpose is to be the father, the husband, and the leader of our family. My purpose is also not to take everything that I've learned and just use it with my family. I'm standing up on this stage today because I'm supposed to share it with other families. That's what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what your purpose is, and I don't know what your role is, but figure it out, find out, and start doing it. Because it's time to do something. It's time for all of us to do something. Not just those men that stood up, but the women in this room and the kids in this room. We need to start doing something. And it starts right at our own home. So what I've done is I've joined the Ziegler Corporation, and we started something called Ziegler Family. Our mission is to empower today's family to be, do, and have more, because we believe every family deserves the opportunity to thrive. Now, what is more? I don't know. More is different for you. It's 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 those dreams that you had when you started your family. It's the dreams you have today that you're afraid to share with anybody. It's the hopes that you have. And you need a place that's going to provide some resources to help you make that happen. And we want to be that at Ziegler Family. Now, I'm going to tell you something super cool. So Ziegler Family started last fall. The Ziegler Corporation has been around for 4 decades. Mr. Ziegler, that you guys have heard of or know, some of you may not know, he didn't give his first professional speech as a public speaker until he was 45 years old. Probably didn't know that. But in 4 decades of his life, he impacted 250 million people. So we want to extend that legacy into families, because here's the deal. Mr. Ziegler would get up on stage, he'd speak to 25,000 people, and his son would be with him, and his son would be like, "High five, Dad, that was awesome." And Mr. Ziegler would say, "Yeah, that was awesome, son, but wouldn't it have been more awesome if those 25,000 people had been families?" Because even though he was one of the most accomplished public speakers ever, his heart was still with his family. And he wanted his legacy to impact families. So we've taken the time-tested, proven wisdom of Mr. Zig Ziglar, and we're making it available to families all over the world. Last September, there wasn't a single family involved with Ziegler Family. I can stand up in front of you right now and say, as of August, so we're not quite a year, so 11 months in, over 50,000 families are now part of the work that we're doing with Ziegler Family. 50,000 families are part of this. So his legacy is continuing, and it's continuing here this morning. I hope you guys all know, if you don't know Mr. Ziegler, I do need to tell you that he was an absolute, that his life changed. The reason he was able to impact 250 million people, and you guys can Google this as well, is because at the age of, I believe, 45, he became a Christian. So everything changed in his life, and he would tell you, I'm almost positive it's the same year that he became a professional, a motivational speaker. He became a Christian, and that's when he knew who he was and whose he was, and that's when he knew what he was supposed to do, and that's how come he impacted so many people. And he would tell you today, if he was on this stage, you can listen to his own testimony. That's one of the things that you can listen to freely on the internet. You can look up Zig Ziglar's testimony, and you can hear about his personal testimony. The man was an absolutely faithful servant of our Heavenly Father. And so we want to continue that legacy into families, and we want to do it in the way of community, a phenomenal life. And life, by the way, has periods after it, because we define life as living in freedom every day. Living in freedom every day. It's an extraordinary experience of becoming the person you were created to be by living in true community. And that community starts at home with your family. That's what community is all about. Because guess what? We weren't put on this earth to be alone. None of us were. But if we weren't put on this earth to be alone, our families weren't put on this earth to be alone. That's a fact. So we need community, and we need to be in community. We've got some free resources for you at Ziegler Family, and one of those is a checkup. It's just a free resource. It's checkup.ziglarfamily.com. You go there, you take a 10-minute survey, and you find out the health of your family. This happens to be our checkup. That's a wheel that's spit out. Those pie graphs show the better parts of what we're doing well and the areas that we need some help. And you'll see that that wheel would not get me out of my driveway. So it's not very balanced. And that's one of the things that Mr. Ziglar talked about, was having balance in our lives. We also do something called the 7-Day Challenge. And that's where we invite speakers who have been impacted by Mr. Ziglar in their life. And so this is one of the only times in church that anybody from stage will tell you it's okay to get out your cell phone. And so if you want to text to 44222 and in the subject line put 7-Day Family, it'll register for the 7-Day Challenge. Again, another free resource. This is speakers like Dr. Gary Chapman with the 5 Love Languages. That guy in the middle, Coach Tony Dungy, who did he coach for? Yeah. I think I remember. Dave Ramsey over here. We have some phenomenal speakers that pour into the hearts and homes of families all over the world. We're getting ready to start a new 7-Day Challenge next month. These are the speakers that we've got for the new 7-Day Challenge. One of them is Dr. Meg Meeker that I talked about earlier. And so it's challenging families to be, do, and have more, doing it in your hearts and homes, and listening to a 5 or 6 minute talk from one of these experts. And let me tell you something, the whole point of it is so that your family can win. Now, if your family wins 7 days in a row, what do they call a sports team that wins 7 days in a row? They're on a winning streak. Wouldn't it be cool if our families were on winning streaks? Wouldn't it be cool if we started winning as families? That's what we want to try to do at Ziglar Family. We've got a lot of resources. We've got courses for families to help families to be, do, and have more. We've even got I'm going to share with you a message from Zig Ziglar. I know I'm getting close on time, so I'm going to try to wrap up. But I want you to hear Mr. Ziglar and his message to all of you about what we need to be doing as families.
You probably don't recognize the name of Howard Hill, but he's the greatest archer that ever lived. He killed a Cape buffalo with a bow and arrow. He killed a Bengal tiger with a bow and arrow. As a youngster, I've seen Howard Hill from 50 feet. I've seen him split the bullseye dead center and then take the next arrow and literally split the first one. Now, I've never shot a bow and arrow than my son's child's bow and arrow. But I could hit the bullseye more consistently than Howard Hill could have hit it the best day he ever lived. And I'll say it without batting an eyelash. I could do it. Provided, of course, you blindfolded Howard Hill, you know, and turn him around a time or two so he wouldn't know which way he was heading. You might say, Ziglar, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. How could a man hit a target he could not see? That's a good question. Here's another one. How can you hit a target which you do not have? Have you got one? Are you a wandering generality, or are you a meaningful specific?
You see, this is exactly where most families are right now. They're spinning around in circles because of the chaos and craziness of life, that when they fire, they can't hit a target. Many of them don't even have a target, and if they did, they're spinning around so crazy and chaotic that they are a wandering generality. And what Mr. Ziglar was saying is we need to be a meaningful specific. We need to know who we are and whose we are, and we need to know that we love our family and what we're about. In fact, all of you raised your hand and said you were, that you loved your family. I would guess that outside of your faith, your family is the most important thing in your life. But I'm going to ask you another question, and one that Mr. Ziglar would ask you, and that is, how many of you have a written down specific goal? How many of you have set any goals in 2017? Raise your hand. If you have any goals that you've set for yourself, raise your hand. Okay? Now I want to know, how many of you have a written down specific goal for your family? I got a couple hands go up. The fact is that I've given this to thousands, tens of thousands of people in audience. 98%, actually, our latest surveys tell us 95% of people say that their family is the most important thing in their life next to their faith. But that same 95%, I want to get it right. 98% say family is the most important, and 95% of them have no written down goal for their family. So the question is, what? We say our family is the most important, we say we love it, but what are we doing about it? Where are we putting our time and energy? What are we doing to demonstrate and be a meaningful specific? And so one of the things is that we did this as a family. This is our family logo, and that's our family mission statement. That's one of the things we do in the family Families That Win course is we teach you how to do a family mission statement. Love God, live right, lead all out. Every one of the kids had a role in creating that logo. In fact, the girls' version is on the left, and the boys' version is on the right. I don't think it needs any explanation as to why, but we ended up even agreeing to have two different versions because, you know, we want them to know who they are and whose they are, and so that's important. This stuff is important. We also have a community, a membership community. In fact, my team, I told them I was coming here and speaking, and so one of the things that they wanted to do is just make this available to anybody at Harmony that wants to join the Ziegler Family Membership Community. It's completely free for you. In fact, my family, I'm going to say this right now, my family is going to be back there in the back. If any of you want to meet my family, and I'm sorry I'm putting them all on the spot, if you want to meet my family and talk to them about our journey, we'll be back there in the back and willing to talk to anybody. And I think I brought a gift. This is Zig Ziglar's little book of big quotes, and it's filled with his best quotes, and we'd like to give that to you as a gift from our family to the Harmony family. And so we'll be back there at the table, and you can stop by and meet any of our family and talk to them and ask them questions. I encourage you to ask them questions. I'll pay for that over lunch, I'm sure. But I encourage you to ask them questions because I want them to share from their perspective, you know, the journey that we've been on as a family. And so with that, I want to go ahead and I want to wrap up here. And what I want to wrap up, oh, there you go. Where can I connect? ZieglerFamily.com/harmony. You can sign up for the Ziegler Family Community. And that's I think it's put in the books back there as well. All right. So here's what I want to share with you to kind of bring this to a close. And that is, that's my family. I've introduced them a couple times. You'll meet them after the service. And so, but I look at that family, and all too often I found myself in this trap of, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll make it happen tomorrow. Well, we'll do that tomorrow. Or I'll be the dad tomorrow I need to be. Or I'll be there to help them, coach them, or mentor them because I don't have time today. But my question to you is, what if tomorrow doesn't come? What if there's not a tomorrow? Now, that's not a question that I would have asked 6 months ago. But 3 months ago, something happened, and that was that our kids went to school on a normal school day, and it was just a normal day. Everybody was crazily getting around, eating breakfast, and headed out the door. We have a lot of drivers in our family, so there's multiple cars that go to school for multiple reasons. And so the cars started to leave, and one car left, and another car left, and all the kids ended up getting to school. Everybody was out the driveway by 8:05. At 8:20, my phone rings. And my phone rings, and it's the young lady on the far right in that picture right up there, Mary. And all I hear is a very low voice say, "Dad, I've been in an accident. I'm underneath my car. Help me." And that's it. The phone goes dead. I am panicked. I rush out the house. I run right by my wife. I jump in the truck and I take off. I know the route that she goes. And I take off towards that way. And this is what I found about a mile and a half from our home. Now, mind you, it was on a country road and nobody... No emergency personnel, nothing. I'm the first one on that scene. And I slam my car into park. I go running towards the car. I'm banging on the window, trying to get her to wake up. And she does wake up. And then she starts to vomit. She has no idea where she's at. Like every dad, all I wanted to do is get her out of the car. I just wanted to get her out of the car. I couldn't get her out of the car. Couldn't open the door. I couldn't open the other door. And I was just panicked. And so finally, on this side in that upper left corner there, you'll see that the window was broken. I got down on the ground. I put my heads and my arms in there and I held her. And gas was everywhere. I could smell gas on her in the car. And she just said, "Don't leave me." I'm so thankful that car didn't catch on fire because It had taken both of us that day because I wasn't going to leave her. But I can tell you that story today because she's here today. She's going to be okay. She's going to be okay. She's going to make a full recovery. But what if tomorrow is not promised? What if we don't have tomorrow? We can't wait for tomorrow, what we can do today. We've got to take action today. Go home today after church and love your family. Hug your kids, hug your daughter, hug your son. That's the message I want to leave with you here. I want to leave a message that says, you have everything that you need to be the father, the mother, the sister, the brother that you need to be the person that your family needs you to be. All you got to do is look in the mirror, take some inventory of your own life, and realize that God has planted seeds in your life that have been growing for your entire life, whether you're 15 years old or 55 or 75. Maybe it's time to harvest some of the fruit that's been growing inside of you and share it with your family. But please don't wait for tomorrow. Do not wait for tomorrow. Mr. Zig Ziglar said, your family was designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, and endowed with the seeds of greatness. I believe that is absolutely true. I believe that that is absolutely a true statement. The question is, do you believe it? And more importantly, the challenge that I want to leave for you this morning, we happen to have some songs that we like as a family. And I've got a playlist on my phone of those songs. So on the way here, I'm kind of struggling with kind of getting in the right headspace. So I went to that playlist. And I started listening to some songs that are important to our family. And one of the songs that I listened to is by an artist by the name of Matthew West. And it's a song that means a lot to our family. And I'm going to go ahead and close out here, Pastor, if it's all right, by sharing with everybody out there just a little clip of that song, because that song says exactly what I want to leave you with as a final challenge. Chelsea, would you play that? Fire, life with no desire. I don't want to flame, I want to fire. I want to be the one. Today is the day. Time is now. I'm going to do something. Are you willing to do something about it? Are you willing to do something about your family? Are you willing to do something about your situation? Are you willing to do something about your teenager that's testing you? Are you willing to do something about your child that needs you? If you've got adult children that you're distant from, are you willing to make the first phone call and pick up the phone? Are you willing to do something? Because let me tell you something. Mr. Ziglar used to say, nobody drowns from falling in water, they drown from staying there. Too many families are staying in the water they've fallen in. So what I want you to do is I want you to do. We are the salt of the earth. We are a city on a hill.
As Marcus blessed us today, would you just join me in bowing your heads for just a minute? And I just want to ask you for just a moment where you are. Today, do you know what takes place in your life if tomorrow doesn't come? Do you know for certain that if tomorrow didn't come for you, that Jesus would be your reality? That that's where you would spend your eternity. Today, if you don't know that for certain, right where you are, I would just tell you that Jesus loves you, that he gave his life for you, and he wants nothing more than to have you turn your heart to him and invite him to forgive you of your sin and to be your Savior. You see, we all need that. I need that. Mark needs that. You need that. Because none of us are perfect. That messiness that he talked about as a family comes because we're messy as individuals. Today, if you've never invited Jesus to wipe away your sin, to forgive you. But you would like to, right where you are, right now, just to offer up a simple prayer from your heart to the heart of God that says something like this: Jesus, I know that my life is not perfect. In fact, I know that I have sinned. I've missed your mark and your standard of perfection, but the Bible says that you demonstrated your love for me when there was nothing to love about me. And you did that to save me and forgive me of my sins. So Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to be my Savior. Thank you for saving me. You say a simple prayer like that, Jesus will save you. He will give you that eternal home in heaven, and that hope that's good for there, but a hope that's good for today as well. So maybe you know for certain where you're spending eternity. Maybe you know for certain that you're going to be with Jesus. No greater feeling than knowing that. But maybe today you would say, John, I know that Christ is my Savior. I go to church. I read my Bible. I'm in a life group. But my family, they've got some struggles. And I need God's help. Maybe today you're one of the men that stood, or maybe where you're at, you just need to go ahead and say, you know what, I'm going to stand as a husband, as a father, and I want to be the leader that God wants me to be. I want to be the influencer that God wants me to be in my family and in my home. Maybe that's you, right where you are right now. You don't have to stand. You don't have to go anywhere. We're not going to ask you to come forward today. Right where you are right now, between you and God, make that prayer. God, help me to be the leader. Help me to be the father, the husband that I need to be. Whatever is on your heart, ask God to help you with that. Maybe for you, it's the wife, the mother. Help me to go ahead and love my husband. Help me to love my children. Help me to be one that makes an impact in our home. Maybe you're a young person and you would say, John, I'm here today, but my family's not. Then today, maybe it's a moment where you say, you know what? I may not be the leader of my home physically. I may not be the oldest one there, but I'm going to begin to pray for my family, and I'm going to begin to pray for mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, whoever it might be, and I'm going to pray that they would turn their life to Jesus and that they would go ahead and begin to have the life that we can have. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you offer up those prayers to the Lord, whatever it might be today that He's speaking to you about. And then in just a moment, I'm going to close us in prayer. Father, we come to you today and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the things that you've shared with us today through Mark. We thank you for bringing him to us. Father, the things that he shared have impacted hearts and minds. And Father, I pray that you'll help us, that as we prepare to leave in just a few minutes, that we'll let it move from our mind to our heart and into our life. That we'll allow it to truly make an impact, make a difference in our family so that we can make a difference in our communities. Father, I thank you for your love. And I thank you that we can know whose we are and who we belong to. And Father, I pray if there's one here today that has questions about that, that you'll help them to know that they can find one of us after the service and talk with us or talk with Mark and his family about you to bless and you as well. Lord, I ask that you'll continue to bless and be with the families of our church and help us to reach other families in our community. Words in Christ's name. Amen.